Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus's strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host for today, Ben Borgman, and I'm the executive director of Disciple First. And I am super excited about the episode today because so live in the studio, we have two of my favorite board members. And so I'm going to let you meet them here in a minute. And so, but besides board members, they are close, dear friends to me and my family, and got to know them over the years, and just wonderful, wonderful ladies that are hopefully going to, you're going to be encouraged by hearing their story, and just wonderful disciple-making leaders themselves. And so, but before we let them introduce themselves to you, I wanted to welcome our faithful podcast contributor, Pastor Craig Etheridge.
Chief Flunky. Craig, yes, I know, Ben. Hey, great to be with you on the podcast again today. Yeah, this is going to be a great one. I'm very excited about the conversation we're going to have about women discipling women and what that looks like and how exciting that can be and what challenges we're facing. And so, pastors, let me just give you a heads up. You're listening to this. This may be a great podcast to share with women in your church, with maybe somebody that does women's ministry for you or whatever the case may be, a great resource to share about how you can really create an environment where women are well nurtured in the faith in your church. So this is going to be a really valuable conversation.
Yeah, because what we've seen in multiple churches, in Craig's church and some other ones that we work with, is if you don't have disciple-making leaders that are women, you're missing out. There's something about that. I think, you know, the episode is going to be kind of titled The Power of Disciple-Making Women. And that is, we really do believe that it is powerful when you tap into and make a place and empower women to really be that disciple-making leader. It is not just for the men of your church. And so we just want to talk about that. And again, so we have two ladies. They serve on our board with Disciple First, but again, are close, dear friends. First of all, we have Miss Kyle Phillips on. So Miss Kyle, I've known her for a long time now. She was one of our mentor couples when me and my wife were a little bit younger in our Connect group, and just grown to love her and her husband, Jim. But when you hear her voice, you'll know, man, she has a heart for the Lord. She has a heart for women, and she is just a dear, dear friend and a loving, genuine person. Miss Kyle Phillips.
Thank you for having me here.
Telling you talk about, I have a voice for radio. Listen to you. I mean,
I'll be surprised.
No, that's great. So tell us a little bit about you, Miss Kyle.
So I have a wonderful husband, Jim, of 48 years, and I have three kids and eight grandchildren. And wow. We've been at our church 38 years.
Oh, that's a long time.
A long time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, you've seen some things. As we were walking here into the podcast room, we were talking about this. At one point in time, this was the balcony of the worship center. And then I was saying, well, when my kids were little, this was like preschool rooms, and now it's a podcast studio. So it's kind of gone all around. But you've seen all that change and just been, and again, what I really appreciate about you and Jim is just your faithfulness. You are the type of leaders that every pastor would love to have a church full of you, because you are just faithful and consistent and just love the Lord and love people so well. And we're just, you know, you realize too, like I kind of owe you a debt too. You were one of the ladies that really poured into my wife and invested in her and had the opportunity to walk alongside her and really kind of invest and disciple her. And then, you know, we moved. We no longer get to go to church with you, which is a sad thing. But, you know, she's carrying on a lot of your investment by investing in ladies at our new church.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so when we moved 4 years ago, she hit the ground running and really just started investing in women. And that's your legacy that gets to be carried on. So we're super thankful for you.
Thank you.
All right. And then there's Miss Andrea Murphy, or another board member of ours, but also another dear friend. We've gone to church together, her and her husband and I. We've been in kind of in the same life stage, so we've been in different groups together. But most recently, we actually get the pleasure of leading a home group of young married couples. Some, a couple of them have kids, but most of them are kind of their mid to late 20s. And, you know, we've had conversations, Andrea, about it kind of makes us feel younger and a little more cooler. You know, I'm not very cool, so I really need that help. You and David are a lot cooler than I am. But it really does. It's a joy to serve with you in that, but then also to just to watch you lead women and invest in women and in our group. And so, Andrea Murphy, I'll give you a little bit of time to talk about and tell everybody who you are.
Yes. I have been married to my husband, David, for 19 years. And we have four kids, all school age. Our oldest is a senior this year, so getting ready to launch her. And I get to stay at home and be with them and, you know, disciple women. And like Ben said, pour into these other couples at church.
Yeah. Yeah. And you do a great job of that. And, you know, you and David both just great parents. And, you know, again, y'all got a crazy life. You got four kids at all kinds of different ages and different things. But you guys do a great job of that, as well as investing your life in other people. And again, we're thankful for both of you and both of your families for the contribution you do, not only for us personally, but as an organization, and the encouragement you give us as board members. So super thankful for you being able to be on this call and be on this episode, just so we can really, so you can encourage other women and other leaders to encourage their women in their church. So before we kind of get into some questions and challenges, Kyle, I'll go back to you. What's your story of, I guess, becoming this disciple-making leader, or this idea of making disciples who make disciples? How did you get there? How did you get that this was something you really need to be a part of your life?
I think... you know, 40 plus years ago, I opened God's Word and learned. I was a sponge. I was a sponge because I hadn't grown up with that. And so I fell in love with God's Word. And I would do every Bible study that I could. They could have child care so that I could do the women's Bible study. But years and years of that, all different kinds of Bible study. And then before the Grow series, we had one-on-one with God. Mm-hmm. And I think there were things in that I really took to heart. But then when I did the first Grow series, mm-hmm. Pastor Craig needed women who would turn mm-hmm. and lead other women. And there are things in the study, scriptures you memorize, that make you know that it's not just to receive God's word for yourself. There's a outpouring that needs to come, and naturally will come when you're walking with God. So I think the Grow series really propelled and fed that desire for me to pour into other women. And there's Bible study is good, but I also see the danger of going to Bible study because you are gathering more information, yeah. more information, and not turning and investing. And I think that's the key pin right there.
Yeah, we all need to make that turn. It's very true. Our own spiritual roots need to go down deep. We need to have a firm grip on God's word. But if we never focus on helping others have that same experience, or serving them, or investing in them how to own their faith and apply their faith in their world and in their life, then I think we're missing out on a lot of joy in the Christian walk. If it's all about us, I think we're really missing out. So that's really good that you've done that. We're super thankful for you. So
I just want to jump in here and just say too that, you know, in Titus 2, it talks very specifically about older women investing in younger women. And it's not really about age. It's about, you know, a lot of maturity and just what stage of life you're in. We're all older than somebody, right? So we're in a different stage than somebody. And so how really important that God's word specifically states there's this need of women who are a step ahead or two steps ahead to come back and really invest in women that behind you that are in a different stage of life. and how valuable that is, how rich that is, how super important that is. And, you know, as being a dad of two daughters, I want other women speaking into their life. I mean, they obviously have their mom and they have me speaking into their life, but the value of other people coming around, I just can really chart their spiritual growth, not only with what we've been saying to them, but then God bringing godly women into their life to speak those things as well, that just has really helped aggregate their spiritual growth. So it's super, super important just for God's word to point it out specifically. It's super great need.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So Andrea, how about you? How did God capture your heart for making disciples and really investing in women?
Oh man. Kind of similar to Kyle. I've always loved God's word. I've loved Bible studies, and just digging into the word for myself, being a part of church, and groups. But when we moved, out to our current home, in 2020, I was about to have a kindergartner, my youngest. And so I was really struggling with, what am I going to do? All my kids are in school. And that was kind of my life's purpose while they're at home all the time, was to be with them. But I just felt like I needed something else. My heart kind of ached. Mm. There was this ache. I just felt like I wasn't, there was a purpose I had, and I just couldn't figure out what it was. So going to church here at Cross Creek for so long, I heard about the Grow series. My husband went through it, but I never was able to join a group. And then when we moved out to our new church, they started doing the Grow series. And so I jumped in and kind of co-led with another lady there. I was leading, but learning it for myself going through it for the first time. And I loved it. It was stuff, a lot of stuff I had already known or practiced, but it just, you know, reignited my faith and really going over the basics. You can never go over that too much. It's always useful, always helpful. And so, but it wasn't until I finished with them, and then I started my own group with two other women, and that's when my heart, like, came alive. I felt like, oh, this is what I've been searching for, yeah. was like you said, pouring it out onto other women and to see them grow and to see their eyes light up of, I can read the Bible for myself and understand it for myself. And they had holes in their walk that they didn't realize they had. It was just a beautiful thing. And so that's when I really discovered this is what I was need to do. And the Bible had been saying it all along. I just needed someone to show me. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. And again, we're super thankful that you've, you know, taken what God's given you or shown you and using that. Because again, not only do we get joy as we invest, but then as you engage, like especially you as women as engage in the body of, you know, your local body and your local church, I think that's vitally important of the overall health, as you know, that women are investing in women. It can't just be a select few, or, you know, only for men, or women's ministry is all we do. I really think, you know, you have you have a very important part to play in the life of a church as a woman and your perspective. And so that's really what we want to talk about the rest of the time is really, so maybe what are some, I guess we'll kick it off really, what do you see as maybe some unique challenges for investing in women? It can be super practical, from schedule, you know, life, it can be all those, but what challenges to investing in women are, what challenges do you think are unique to investing in women that you've seen? Kyle, I'll start with you.
I think that a challenge is, who do I invest in, and where do I find these ladies? And so when I first started out, you know, you don't know who is going to actually say yes. And so I invited a lot of women to be in a grow group. And so they didn't say no. And so I had I didn't tell them this at the time. But I had three different groups because nobody said no. Because the thing is, women long to be poured into.
Yeah.
They long for a connectedness. And 21 weeks is not for the faint of heart. That's a long time. And you really get to know women, but where to find them. And so even with a lot of prayer, every time prayer has to be a part of it. At our church, we've tried, if you're interested in the Grow Group, go online.
Like a sign up.
But that's not how Jesus did it. Right. He prayed about it. He asked God, show me who it is. And when I've done that and I've waited on him, he has just given me I just sit back and marvel at people that he put together that I would have never put together, and how it just works. If you ask him, he will show you who to put in a group. And so finding the people is one thing. Schedules is another. It helps, that Craig had to do all times of, you have to be very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Flexible.
Yeah, you have to be flexible in that. And God will work that through. Be willing to change it up a little bit. Where Andrea is, it's hard with kids' schedules, husband's schedules. So I think that is a challenge. There was one lady who new to our church. This has been years ago now. New to our church, didn't know people, wanted to be in a grow group, but was like, gave me every excuse for how it wouldn't work. Because I have to be done by this time. And, I didn't let up on her. And I just was like, we will make this work.
Yeah.
And that woman has gone on to, she's gone on to lead groups. She serves at our church. I mean, she's an amazing lady. But back then, she didn't know anybody. And it was, she was pretty closed off as to, can I really be real with these ladies? Can I really share my heart? And I think as a leader, if you are open and vulnerable and honest, then it kind of like breaks down these walls that people have.
Yeah.
But that's another question.
Yeah. And again, like you said, though, there's a uniqueness, in most women are longing for that. They're longing for connection, longing for that. When we're investing with guys, we're trying to tear all those walls down. And yet for ladies, that's a uniqueness a lot of women, this is what they're actually craving. This is what they're asking for. They just may not know how to ask for it or make the time for it or the schedules. Andrea, like for you, what do you see as a uniqueness? May not be a challenge, but just a uniqueness in discipling women.
There's a lot of things. I would say the one that I see the most is women who, this is so hard to have to find the right words. Women whose children are their whole world, which I definitely fall into that category. I love my kids to death. But to the point where they can't fully commit themselves to anything else. And I see this in different women's lives, whether it looks like not having time for friendships or things outside the home. And so that has been hard because grow groups do require more of a commitment than just your run-of-the-mill Bible study, where if your kid has an appointment or has a, you know, a particular need for that day, that you might not go. But grow groups, it's kind of most beneficial to have that be your top priority at that time. And women just really struggle with that, I think, of saying no to something their kids might want or need at the time to be able to prioritize their own spiritual growth. That's something that I think is a cultural problem.
Yeah.
I think it's an issue in the church as a whole, and which I think it's a wonderful, beautiful thing, but it does hold women back from either being in a grow group or leading a grow group. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of women that just don't feel like they have time to turn around and lead one for themselves because they feel like, well, my number one ministry is my children. I need to be doing this with them. And what I have discovered is that my kids usually aren't ready for the grow series itself. They're ready for all of the moment by moment discipleship times that we have in the car or at our meals or just around the house. But to sit down with them, you know, their little hearts just aren't ready for that yet. And so, and I respect that. I admire that desire to disciple your kids. But what I have not seen in the Bible is where God has said, well, women don't have to do this while their kids are at home for the Great Commission. And so I don't see that exception. So that means I have to figure that out. How does this work with having kids and them still being my number one, but how do I also show my kids that, hey, discipleship is important? And sometimes that means that we might have to reschedule your appointment or you might have to wait for whatever it is that you're wanting at that moment. Or even, you know, a spouse to cover things for the kids so that you can prioritize this. And we try to get around that a little bit by spacing our books out. So we might just do book one and then take a month of a break and then carry on to book two so that women have a breather. But that's something that I've struggled with, and I've actually – it's been hard to find women who want to prioritize that the same way I do, even whether it's being in a group together or just a friend – who's in the same boat trying to disciple women. It's kind of felt kind of lonely.
Yeah. And I think that both of you've hit on this. I think this is something unique to women, but also I think just as a disciple maker, flexibility is really a really good attribute. The more flexible you can be with how you're engaging people, it can be with a grow group, it can be just other people you're trying to develop friendships with, the more flexible you are in realizing that you're there to serve them. Like maybe my schedule needs to take a back seat. So if you're talking as you're the investor, as you're investing in someone, but then also helping the person you're investing in say, hey, you know what? How can you be a better mom? How can you be did you think about if you're walking closer with the Lord and owning your faith, how much better of a mom would you be? How much better? I've had that conversation with men. How much better of a husband and a dad will you be if you learn really how to apply your faith? So maybe let's sacrifice, even if it's something good, like family time. Like we have a family time on Wednesday night, so I can't meet. Well, how much for this small sliver of time, if you were to sacrifice that, not to say family time's not important, find another time to do that, but maybe if you were to reorder some things, how much better of a husband, wife, spouse, father, mother would you be?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to ask you ladies a question. I'd like you to talk to us about just seasons of life. You know, what does disciple making look like in different seasons? Because every person has different seasons of life. You have times when you don't have kids. You have times when you're single. You have times when you have young ones in the house, and as your kids get older, then you go into a season where you're empty nester and grandkids, and all these different seasons. What does discipling women look like for you in these different seasons? She's thinking really hard on this.
I probably have more flexibility now than I did before, whereas, you know, my favorite place to have a grow group is in my living room. But there's times when it's been at the church where there was childcare for young ones. I think I'm at a more flexible season on this end. Mm-hmm. And I still want to be the best mom, the best grandma, you know, that I can be. And that takes time. Mm-hmm. So working in and around that, I feel more flexible.
Yeah. And there probably was a time in your life when you couldn't have done three groups.
No.
Right? I mean, you'd be lucky to do
and
one.
I'm not saying I recommend that.
Right.
But it was like I could have a Monday night, I could have a Friday morning, and I could have a Wednesday night at the church.
Yeah.
That's the way I did it.
Right.
And luckily they were all in the same week as a leader. And I never tell them that I had another group. It was funny until now they know, but they're like, really? Anyway.
But you have a little bit more bandwidth at this season that you're in.
Absolutely.
Now. Andrea, you're in a different season than Kyle.
Absolutely.
So what does that look like, or what are the nuances of these different seasons for women?
Well, I've only done it in this season of my life, so I can't speak to having younger kids. But for me, and that's a luxury of being able to stay at home, is I can lead groups during the day when my kids are at school. I prefer that, but I know that that's not realistic. So right now, I'm actually praying through, like, what does it look like for me to disciple women who work full-time jobs?
Right.
So I'm thinking through, like, what night of the week is my husband home so that he can be with the kids and I can lead this possible group. Because it's easy for me to want to hold on to all my evenings when my kids are going all different places and there's one night a week that we're all home. But even that, I'm like, we do have a lot of time together. And so I don't really need to hold on to that one night a week. I don't think it's something I need to protect by any means. So I'm looking at what would it look like to do it then. So I think just being creative. Actually, my daughter being a senior, it was so easy for me to say, I'm not doing anything extra this year. But, you know, my daughter's at school. She has things going on that I'm not a part of. So I actually do have a lot of time that I could be using. So I don't know if I can fall back on on that.
Well, I just think it's a great statement. I love the fact that you're both here around this table and you are in different seasons. And that's a beautiful thing. Because I just know that the Lord's got you. He still wants you to be about the Great Commission, whatever season you're in. What that looks like may vary. You know, if you're single, then you got lots of time, right? You know, or maybe you're working hard, you're single, but you've got a time like that. There are other times when your time's compressed. And so I think that you can't say it's always got to be this way in every season, but to just say, Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to be about the Great Commission. I want to invest in people. Show me what that looks like. It may just be one-on-one with one person for a period of time. That's okay too. Or maybe running three groups that Kyle wouldn't recommend. but either way, just a good encouragement, I think, for women to say, just ask God, hey, in this season, what does it look like for me to invest my life like you want me to?
Yeah, and I love this conversation. I love hearing your hearts. I love hearing how y'all wrestle with this, and I think it's extremely valuable. I want us to take a real quick break, and then want to wrap up. I want to focus as we finish on how can church leaders really set women up for success in this. So, but before we get to that, let's take a quick break.
If you were going to raise up the next generation of church leaders, how would you do it? You probably wouldn't rely on online courses or sterile classrooms to train them. You'd probably invite them to walk alongside you as you do ministry. You'd probably invest in them spiritually and stretch their vision of how God wants to use them. You'd probably raise up leaders, well, the way Jesus did, with a simple invitation to follow me. The Cross Creek Residency is a place just like that. Here, college graduates who are called to ministry get one-on-one investment and training from seasoned pastors and leaders over the course of a year. During that time, they will be trained to make disciples who multiply, and they're exposed to multiplying church plants who are growing and thriving all over the world. If you have a graduate in your church who feels called to ministry and has a heart for making disciples, then check out the Cross Creek Residency. Movement begins here. To learn more, go to crosscreekresidency.com.
All right, welcome back. And again, we've had a great conversation with Kyle and Andrea and Craig today, just talking about the power of disciple-making women and just the need of that. That there's some uniquenesses to that and challenges, being flexible and schedules and family dynamics and all that. But really, where I want to go with the rest of this conversation is, and I'm going to kick it to Craig first, from a leader's perspective, whether that is senior pastor, whether that's groups pastor, or maybe women's ministry director, but someone that oversees some departments in church, what do you see, or maybe what have you done to really set women up for success and maybe free them their time or empower them or encourage them to really be disciple makers?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And a lot of people that are listening to this podcast are pastors that are trying to wrestle with how do we apply these things in our church. I think just speaking the value of women, discipling women is super important. Raising that value, championing, telling the stories. I mean, just the number of women in our church, really, Kyle, through a lot of your influence, have multiplied. And what beautiful, wonderful stories that is, right?
It is beautiful.
And I think championing those, telling those stories is one thing that any pastor leader can do. I know that a lot of times when we're coaching a pastor to get started, we just say, just start discipling somebody. You know, you don't have to preach about it. Just start doing it. You know, just get a group of guys and start discipling them. And that works great to get men going. Yeah. But a lot of guys go, well, how do I do that with women? Cause I can't disciple a woman. And we encourage guys to disciple guys, women to disciple women for lots of reasons. And so that has been a bit problematic. How do you get this going? Now, sometimes your pastor's wife may have a share of that heart. And so she leads a group of women, and that can start that way. Other times that's not the case. And so what we did at our church, I'm not saying this is the great example, but it's an example. We did what we called a turbo group, and we actually had Kyle in that group and a couple other women, maybe two or three women, I think, in that group. And then I had a group of men, and we had them start off kind of in their huddles with the women and the guys separately, doing kind of their scripture memory and that kind of, you know, how was your week and what'd you hear from God's word? And then we came together for kind of the instructional piece of it. And then we broke back out again for the prayer time and that kind of deal. And just doing that allowed us to be sure that we were all starting from the same place and that the women were hearing that instructional piece the same way that the guys were hearing it. And then from that point on, we didn't really look back. From then on, it was just the women just took off and the guys just did their thing and kind of running simultaneously.
Because it was a model. You know, my eyes had seen it. I knew what it looked like, and I could go from there. Not that it's its own little entity, but I do think for it to be modeled is an important thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then to have people and women who want they yearn to turn around and invest. Sometimes that doesn't come, in my experience, till book three. Even though I'm saying all along, hey, when you have your own group, you know, this is something you might, you know, you'll have fun with this or whatever. But then there's something in book three, the invest in others. In their minds, they've thought, this is good. This is good for me. This is good for us to be here. But they didn't feel the Holy Spirit saying, you know, it's you. It's you. You're the one. You're the one that's going to lead. But it happens in book three sometimes, and they're like, oh, my word, I'm going to lead. And so there's a there's a game changer in there. Mm-hmm. And but having it modeled is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling when, and just to mention, going back to that, when you did your, when y'all kind of relaunched, once you, when y'all were implementing the Grow Series as kind of the main discipling tool here at Cross Creek, just to kind of give Kyle a shout out for her steadfastness and all the work she told. I mean, I don't know what the numbers are now, but initially for like first year or two, the women were extremely outpacing the men. Like the amount of ladies that were being invested in out of that, and again, out of just you and a couple other ladies, I mean, y'all were putting in some work, and God used that and just really, really putting guys to shame.
Yeah, honestly. No doubt. And just bearing a lot of fruit. And yeah. I think that it takes men and women doing that. You know, you don't want just ladies multiplying and then the guys are like, well, I don't have to do that. You know, you really want your men leading the way, leading the challenge. And the way we did it in our church, we started off with guys just because it was easier for our pastors to just start discipling men. And then we would have some of the women come and say, well, what is that for us? You know, why can't we, or what have you done to my husband? You know, cause he's a different guy, yeah. Which was wonderful and gave a hunger and some credibility to what we were doing. But I think having a core group of women that you trust, I mean, Kyle was clearly a proven leader in our church, been here a while, to start there and begin to multiply was a really, really, a great, great experience for us. So that's one model. I know sometimes a pastor and his wife will pull a few couples together and they'll kind of do the same thing. The guys will break off, the girls will break off and then come together for instruction. So you could do that in a couple format if that worked for you. We chose not to do it that way, but that doesn't mean that's not a viable method. But usually getting started is the hard part. How do we get this launched? And so, and of course, Kyle and Andrea both are on our board and would be happy to probably to visit with any pastor that hears this podcast to say, how do we do that? That would be really great ladies to talk to about how to get that going in their church. Yeah. Another thing that Andrew, that you mentioned, I thought was really good is that you co-led a group first. And so a lot of times I found with men that one guy may be a little reluctant to lead all on his own. You know, there's some that they're already leading a group before they're supposed to. You know, they just take off and they're like, whoa, okay, all right, just go. But there are others that are like, oh, I don't know, my travel schedule, I don't know. But they have all these reasons. And so I found that, you know, Jesus sent them out two by two for a reason. Mm-hmm. And that mutual accountability and that shared burden, if you will, of nurturing a group is very helpful. And so I thought the fact that you said you co-led a group first, mm-hmm. it just kind of gets you thinking about it and kind of get your feet wet in it. And then you took off, you know, on your own, which was a great thing. And so I think that's also something to keep in mind as you're seeing women multiply, that might be helpful.
Yeah. So, Andrea, I want you to chime in just real quick on this, too. Is there anything specifically that you see that's been extremely helpful from a church standpoint of really setting you up for success? Because, again, we can get real busy in churches. We can do a lot of things. But have you experienced anything that really that a church has done to really partner with you to say this is a priority and also facilitate from a scheduling or anything like anything that just really, hey, a church really can impact this heavily by doing this?
Yes. The person I co-led with was our pastor's wife. She was new to it also. So we were both learning by ourselves, which we would have loved a model. And that's what we definitely saw how important that was going through that ourselves. But what I found was how important it is to have women of either in leadership or in that older, wiser group that had influence over the church, how important it is for them to be totally on board with this. It is very, very hard at a church when women in leadership are not totally on board. It feels like you are swimming upstream, and it is very hard to gain momentum. So I would say, you know, just the value in discipling those women in leadership or the women that are, you know, are very influential or draw people to them, like look for those women. Those are the ones you need to disciple, because they're the ones that are going to, when they fall in love with this discipleship, they're going to do it and take over for you. So I would love to see that. I think that would be a powerful thing to witness. And it was powerful for me. And that friend of mine, she still is there to encourage me. We encourage each other to keep going. And so she's a huge blessing. But I will say to what you said earlier about the husbands and wives, what we've seen at our church currently, one of the most successful, fruitful models is that husband and wife leading other couples. Those groups have multiplied very quickly and surprisingly effectively. And they do that same thing where they split off for those more personal moments and then come back together at different times. That's an excellent model that I've just seen done really well.
Yeah. So. Those are great tips. Go ahead.
And if a church also is forward thinking, you know, hey, this is when the church is open, where there's childcare, you know, which rooms, what do you need a room? What room do you need? Our church has been really helpful in that, where here is a place for you, so that, because that's the cool thing, where the husbands and wives could do what Andrew's saying. But if it, you know, it could be that childcare is needed in that.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that is a really great point, Kyle, because I really think a staff needs to kind of view themselves as facilitators in a way where they're recognizing there's an issue or a challenge. Hey, we have a lot of, if this is a priority that we want women investing in other women, there is a real issue of childcare, especially like where Cross Creek is. I mean, we're right in the middle of the suburbs at Family Church. I mean, there's lots of churches with families. So you guys have done a great job of identifying that. And so if this is important, which it is, if this is a value, which it is, then, hey, we're going to partner with these people. We're going to take down barriers to what we're anticipating them to do or what we're wanting them to do. It's kind of like if you expect everybody to disciple, but then you just pull back and you're just, well, aren't they discipling? Well, how are you helping facilitate that? How are you helping them address those challenges? Like, that's a great example. We provide childcare. That's at least one night a week. That's not an excuse.
And I would just like to put out a challenge to the pastors listening to this. Hey, you be the biggest champion. You know, you raise the flag, you talk about it, you know, in your messages, you provide opportunities for childcare, you champion women that are multiplying, you know, just you being that cheerleader and that support, I think means the world to women that are doing that good work in and through your church. They need to hear that from you and see that. And then practically you provide support.
Yeah. And even from the pulpit, I can't tell you how excited women get when you preach on an aspect of the Grow series, any aspect. And they are, you know, they feel like they've been in they're in the know already because of what they've learned in the Grow series. And right. They get so excited when you say a scripture they're memorizing one of the Bible stories that they've read. Right. Very fun.
Yeah. And that gives them a connection. Yeah, absolutely. So that's another thing, just in the preaching, just bringing up things that are in that tool is reinforcing as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to just again thank each of you for being on the call and what you do, Craig, Andrea, and Kyle. I think we all kind of hit on a little bit of that, the importance of women investing in other women, you know, definitely in the Bible, but also, again, extremely valuable to a church and the life of a church. But then from Craig's perspective and encouragement to other leaders is, hey, you have a lot of control, a lot of impact in this, in facilitating and celebrating and encouraging and ultimately just showing the value of the ladies that are in your church. And then how are you helping them really be disciple makers and addressing problems? And I hope this was encouraging to you as listeners. And again, I thank each of you for being on our episode today and what you do in our lives and my life personally, just in my family and in the life of this church. So
thank you, Ben.
Yeah, and we really appreciate you. So as far as listeners go, we just want to thank you again for listening to this episode. And we're always available for any questions or any help that you might have, like Craig kind of offered, like even how do I get women in my church started, investing in other people? How do I prioritize that? Again, we can help you. We have Andrea and Kyle that are on our board. We have other ladies here at Craig's Church and other churches we work with that would love to help you figure out what that needs to look like and how to get that started at your church. And so, but if you ever need anything, you can always just contact us at disciplefirst.com and you can contact us there and we would love to help you and serve you. And so, but we, again, thankful for you giving the time, listening to this podcast episode and hope you enjoy it.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.